We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. For there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. All is well. All is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. For there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. All is well. All is well. And we have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see one with us this morning. Remember the announcement, Brother Tim Humes is having a New Year's meeting coming up December 31st to January the 3rd. Anybody need any information, it is up here, so remember that. Request we have is Brother Ernie called, and he's out of the hospital, but he's still having problems. He's got to go back and get some his lungs x-rayed and things, so just remember him. He's having a hard time with this, so remember him. Sister Angie Brown's called, and she's sick this morning. Sister Gail gave me one, a friend of Sister Peggy Gibby. Her name is Tammy. She's been here before. Her house got flooded out for all this rain, and she's having migraine headaches. So just remember that this morning as we pray. That's all. Sister Gail.
My sister called me Christmas morning and wished me a happy Christmas. That's just, you know, she's not supposed to be here.
Right.
She's still claiming her healing, so I praise the Lord, and I'm claiming it with her.
Right, amen. Right, right. We all are. Brother David.
I want to buy my son-in-law, my wife's side, Ricky Smith. His dad passed away on Christmas
Day. Amen. Just remember that family. I'm sure they are. Remember that family of the one passing away. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that may be traveling on the highways. Lord, we have many people traveling here today. Just be with them and guide them in other churches. Whatever they may be doing, Lord, come down and bless them. Bless our little service here. Lord, be with Dad. Give him strength that we always have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Remember all the sick, Lord. We have made announcements here, Lord. You know what the needs are and the situations and the loss of the loved ones. Come and lift those people up, Lord. Be with us the rest of the service and bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Let's turn back to number 42. It's number 42 in the Sparrow Book. I feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there, and I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on.
traveling on. It's glittering towers, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine, and I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is so bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Wish flames devour, waves overflow. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is so bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Well, the Lord has been so good to me, and I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, oh, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is so bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Well, the Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, oh, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is so bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. You feel like traveling on this morning? Brother Mark, if you come receive the offering and tithes this morning.
Lord Jesus, pray that you come and bless this little assembly, Father, as we gather in your precious name today, Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you come and add your blessings to the tithes, Father, and the offerings. Touch Brother Sam, Father, and strengthen him, Father, and continue to give him revelation, Father. Give us all that we have need of, Father, and have your way with us. Forgive us of all sin in thy precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn over to number 51. That's number 51 in the Spiral Book. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. Glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast our poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast our poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. We can never give Him enough glory, can we? Let's all stand this time, and I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come to the responsive reading.
Present time, we still have time to seek Him. We still have time to find Him. He loves us all, and He desires that we be one of His. So just remember that. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 5. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for every promise that You made. Lord, there's none that You will not fulfill. Let us surrender our hearts to You, Lord, continually, asking You, Lord, to remove from us every doubt and every fear that we have. Lord, for we know that You are blessed. You love us and You guide us. So we want to follow. We want to love one another and help each other, one another, Lord, for we all are one together with You, and be with us. Remember those in the Sunday school classes. Remember Brother Dale and touch him in a special way, Father, that he may bring unto us Your words, Lord, that will help us to grow stronger. And we ask You to bless us all in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation.
Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto Thee will I pray.
My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity.
Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will uphold the
But as for me, I will come unto the house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in the fear will I worship toward thy holy temple.
Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness.
There is no faithfulness in thy mouth. Thy inner part is very wickedness. Thy throat is an open sepulchre. They flattereth with thy tongue.
Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee.
But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because of thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, with thou compass him as a shield. God bless you. Be seated. Thank you.
Let's turn over to number 53 in the spiral book. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And we shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will all
pray for the glorious gift of His love and the blessing that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to 61. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. If I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved, for He will fail me never. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. On His word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved, for He's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. For I'm anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. I'm going to stay faithful, aren't you? That's all stand at this time. We'll change order of the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen, amen.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 yes, you're holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? He's a wonderful Savior. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitors back there with us, and we always say to you when you come, you're a visitor first time, you get welcomed. After the end, you're just part of us. So we're, you know, nothing to join up with. We're just part of the body of Christ, but good to see everybody. All right? Remember now, no service this coming Wednesday night, because we will be having services Thursday night starting at 8 o'clock. All right? So remember that. Keep in mind, and we'll start at 8, and then we'll end up at midnight and be rejoicing in the Lord. And Brother Forney, the Lord willing, will be with us to speak to us on that. I know you already have, but remember Brother Ernie, he made a special request to us to pray for him about his, they've told him they really went through a lot of things thinking it was something else, and they were trying to treat him and do different things, and it wound up that he had walking pneumonia. And he'd had it quite a while. So then that he, was drugged down a lot on it by the pulling on the body. So just remember him and keep him in your prayers. And then remember the Bible study will not be on the first Saturday because it falls too quick after New Year's. It'll be the second Saturday in the month of January. Bible study, second Saturday. All right, so remember that. Let's see, anything else? I try to write myself notes to make sure that I remember everything. But, you know, if you'd like turning your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians. We're going to do a little bit different on this because we're going to just read about two or three verses and then be seated, and then we'll go verse by verse to try to express things, you know, of what we're talking about. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day and the hour that we have. We know and realization of one thing, that without you, there is no hope whatsoever in anything. And we just ask you to help us to give understanding of that, to where that we could see that you're trying your best to live among us and open your word unto us in the hour that when, Lord, we have so much need of it, that you're there. Because you promised it. You said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Well, we see that through that you're coming and revealing your word to us and making known the things that were hidden before the world to our understanding to make us ready against the day. Have your way with us. Forgive our sins and lead us by thy grace and love. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not bad, Josh, but there is one still buzzing a tad. So we've had some problems with one of the musical instruments or something bleeding back. Okay. But what I want to do is, like I said, we'll just read verse 3 through 5, and then we'll be seated, and then we'll go into the other. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings. Reading, I said about, it's okay now, Josh, it's down. If I can hear a buzzing, I realize everybody else is hearing a great high volume, because I'm not that good on being able to hear those things and all. But just remember all, and remember then, now no service Wednesday night, but we'll be Thursday night, and gather together, we will. You can come about 7, and we'll have finger foods and things, you know, little knickknacks and things to eat on and stuff to have together, and then we will start at 8 o'clock and end at midnight. Then we can be eating and here at the church and doing, instead of having to go out into the world. And, you know, we pray that the Lord would bless each one. All right. Now, the reason I want to drop back, because what I've been doing is, for great, you know, for some time, this is 25 services talking about it. And we've got into predestination, foreknowledge, election, et cetera, coming through the message. And we've been talking about back before the foundation of the world, you know, and the things that would be, was taking place back there in God and what he was doing, and how that, you know, that we wasn't back there as people. We wasn't there as somebody, you know, doing back there. It was all in the mind of God and his thoughts. You know, it was not something in reality. You have churches, denominations that believe that we were people back there. We were this back there. We were souls back there. We were doing, and, you know, of all things. And then you come into the message, people, and they pick up a lot of those things and come forth, you know, and say, I always was eternal and things. Well, we don't believe that, because if you always was eternal, then Jesus Christ died in vain. That solves the problem to me. It may not to you, because I realize people have their thoughts. But that settles it to me. It's no, I like something to where there's no argument about it. Yes, but I believe it. Well, I don't care what you believe. The Word says it. So that settles the whole point of doing it. The Word said Jesus Christ come and died. Amen. Well, that solves the problem, all right? Now, but I know it doesn't convert anybody. I know that, because it takes God to reveal his Word. And I thank God that it is that way. And the next couple of services, you're going to see something more openly bringing it more personal to you and your thinking, you know, doing, but we spent, as I said, a lot of time back there, and in the last couple of messages, we've been just kind of dealing with foreknowledge as to God knowing what would happen when the world came, you know, and all things took place, and he would know what would take place and all, and then seeing that we are down here where it will take place. Amen. All right? We will requote a lot of this in a moment, but we've studied about how that the prophet would say the little woman at the well, that she had representation from predestination. See, not by, but from. That's the difference, because if it's by, then God would be predetermining himself. But if it's from, it's to the basis that he can look down and see and, you know, understand, all right? And in doing that, we talked about representation was the last message on, or back a couple of messages, talking about representation. Well, I want you to think about it. I want you to think this away with me today, and we'll review a little bit and then get our thought. But I want you to think this away, because this is the title to the message. You know, it's Predestination Made Simple, part 25. But here we go with, were you represented in heaven?
Amen.
Not to just say, well, you know, we had representation in heaven. Well, that we that away can be everybody, because everybody did have some form of, you know, if nothing else, the fact that they were going to come into the world and reject the truth and by his foreknowledge and the things. So then it would be dealing that away. But here's my point. See, were you represented in heaven? All right, now you remember what, 10 years ago, Matching Pieces. I preached a series back about 10, 15, 20 years ago called Matching Pieces. That to me, it's not time. Well, here it comes, but that's in there. But, you know, when something happens in heaven, there's already something happening on earth. When the angels come forth and sang at the birth of Christ, then the birth had already transformed on the earth, you know. And then they were singing about it, because that would be the heavenly coming to the earthly. And that's my point. That's my thought that I want us to think about, especially today. And I say, were we represented in heaven? And here's my point now to get. If so, we will prove our representation on earth. Right? Now, is that a hard thought to understand? That if we did have representation in heaven, it will happen on earth in the basis of what represented us. All right? You remember, we'll cover these in a minute, but, and I don't mind repeating myself because I want you to think about it. You know, those priests, they called Jesus Beelzebub. Why? Why? Because they had no representation. But this afternoon, I want your mind to dwell heavily on one thing, that when we get to Nicodemus and trying to get into this, why you must be born again. All right. And, but those priests that called him Beelzebub, now not everybody, not, see, that's where we get everything and we lay it all in one lump sum, and I don't like to do that. Even the people that was crying for the blood of Jesus Christ, for them to crucify him. See, they were just caught up in, some of the religious leaders were out there, and they gathered them, and they gathered probably who they wanted to come on one basis, but, you know, and they had a group that they could depend on, that when the priest said stone him, they say stone him. Right? Because they were just like robots, just doing whatever was told to do. And that's the way we are today a lot, you know, but we shouldn't be. And but listen, as they begin to, the priests begin to cry out, you know what that was? Now, I've laid it down to where I hope you understand. It wasn't everybody, even those that was maybe screaming for his blood were just caught up in the situation. It wasn't, maybe some of them later said, hey, wait a minute, what did I do? And maybe some of them come up to be born again. You know, all right? I want you to understand it that way, because we're just not, oh, this group and this group and this group. You know, that's the way people want it. Us and our little group, you know. All right, see, because that's not the way it is. There's a whole lot of things in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, let me ask you a question like this for this afternoon. We know that the prophet said, like future home and the different things, you know. He says that that priest had no representation in heaven. Well, it didn't mean that he wasn't known of, thought of, and et cetera. But he was represented there for what he wound up being on earth. What else could it be? If he was that in heaven, can you change what would be on earth? But the little woman at the well, see, she had representation from predestination, all right? And the basis was that when it would come to earth, then she would do exactly what it was before the foundation of the world in God's mind. All right? Are you with me on that now? Because that's the way, and I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to just throw everybody out. See, we think everybody, oh, ain't nobody going to heaven but these people on the message. We're, you know, well, there's going to be a lot more people in heaven than you think. And I love it. Even the prophet would explain that the people who do not hear the gospel, you know, we call them heathen or whatever you want to make the word, they may be given a chance that you and I might not get. Right? All right. See, it's not, we want to make it cut and dried. And it's not cut and dried. I hope you've been following me in that, that it's not, as I got a quote in here, Brother Brown said, that it's not that God puts you in a tube and pushes you through the other end and then says, you know, quoting or something, paraphrasing, that you overcame. No, it's something in your life that you must overcome. It's something in our doing, all right? We will, after getting through with this afternoon's message and maybe one more, we'll drop back to the inheritances and things. So you can go into your adoption series if you like to listen ahead and do. There is a, especially 1960, there is a lot on adoption. So go into those and read on them and think about it. But get the point. Were we represented in heaven? If so, we will prove it here on earth. And there's your matching pieces that I tried about 50 sermons or something to preach on. That whatever's in heaven will happen on earth. When it came up in the book of Revelations about that, you know, the church ages and the things, and you come up there with which would have been which, fifth one, I guess. But anyhow, when it would come up to be Martin Luther with the, you know, the just shall live by faith, when that was seen before the world, but it had to be there on the earth, that had to transpire. Well, it didn't transpire in any other age. It transpired in that age to where Luther would be the very one proving it would, he's proven his representation. All right? So we're going to prove our representation. See? We're going to prove here whether or not we believe the word. I was looking there a while ago at a quote from inheritance. Brother Brown said, our inheritance is the word. And I thought, oh, Lord, we will have a time when we get that far, won't we? Our inheritance is the word. Everybody had a word coming down. But we come up to all of the word from what I thought. All right. Now, so keep that in mind what we're talking about. That if we were predestinated, if we had any connections in heaven as to God knowing what we would do, and surely we'd have to agree that he would, then we are going to do that on earth. You know, because it's not that he'd say, well, I don't know whether they're going to make it or not, but I hope they will. No, he knows exactly where you and I are and what's going to be and, you know, and everything. And like I said, see, then we want to make it, you know, we say, what is blaspheming the Holy Ghost? Well, that's attributed the works of God to the devil. Okay, we got that. That's good. That's a good statement. Because that's what the prophet said. And that's what I believe. All right. But what about it? Did when you first heard the message, did you receive it or did you turn it down? Now, come on. Don't pity-patter with me with your good little duty-duties. Don't. We all come the same way. When we heard the truth, we backed away from it. Maybe not bad our doings, but we backed up and waited and listened and thought about it, right? Well, what about the other person that backed up and waited and didn't receive it? See, that's where we get into that. Well, we're something special. What makes us special? It'd have to be in Him, so we'll get to that in just a second. All right? But you get my point now. And that'll be the point this afternoon if you'll watch it. The next couple of messages will be dealing with us personally as to think about when we came in the message, where we heard of the message, how we heard of it, or what it was, you know, and the things to us, and how we heard from God. Well, it'll be dealing with those things personal. Because, you know, I was thinking, I mentioned it to Brother Ernie there, when I was talking to him, that, you know, no, it was Brother Richard this morning, that we, you know, we don't put things on a, a moment's thing or whatever. You know, we look back at what people's done and look what maybe they will do. And we don't look at what's taking place now. Well, that's the reason I believe that we're here 50 years after the prophet left. It's the basis because he's the one that said it. He said, I don't see but one thing. Now you say, well, this has got to happen. They got to go to the White House. The Russians got to come out of oil. You got all kind of quotes. All that's good. But what about the statement he's made? He said, I don't see but one thing holding off the coming of the Lord. Now what did he say that was? The readiness of the bride. Well, the readiness. We'll find a lice seed. Okay, we find a lice seed. That's readiness. But what about the where we're at? What about our inheritance, as we'll get to? All right. But now think about it. Let's go back and read, because I want you to follow the thought. I've done this one time in between, but I want you to follow it, because that's the reason I keep reading Ephesians. For you to see and understand what's being said. All right. So then go ahead, brother, and pull it back up. And I want to go a little bit verse by verse, and then we'll make some quotes out of it. But look what it's saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already passed, done, finished, us with all spiritual blessings, were in heavenly places in Christ. Not that we were back there, that we were this, and we believe this, or what? No. Watch. According as he hath chosen us, were in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When did he choose us, if there's any choosing going on? All right, remember how we went through it? No. That God does not choose as we say, I'll choose one but won't choose the other. He does it by his foreknowledge, and then the one that he didn't choose can't complain. Because the one that he didn't choose is only living out on earth what his representation was in heaven. So is it with the little woman at the well. Her representation in heaven came to earth, and she lived it. All right? That's what I was saying. You wait till we get to this afternoon, maybe on, you know, Nicodemus must have had a little bit. Because, you know, we say, and that's the truth now, confess, believe in your heart, confess in your mouth, and thou shalt be saved. Well, you know, a lot of people do that and don't get saved.
Right. Sure.
Why? We'll prove this afternoon that Nicodemus believed in his heart and confessed with his mouth.
Right.
What's your confession? Me? Think about it. But look what I'm saying. See? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in heaven, he saw all of it transpire. Okay? So then he could write the name down or leave the name out. And then it wouldn't be him picking and choosing. Only thing he would be doing is make sure he chose Christ. Because only those that are in Christ are the redeemable. You know, because that's what the word redeem means. It means to go back where you came from. All right? Now, but watch. According as he what already done it, has chosen us in him, were before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And you remember in the Old Testament when they, because see how in mind you get to go and then you, there goes all of the books you've read. You remember in the Old Testament that here was a sinner coming up. He brought his lamb. Well, he laid his hand on the lamb. They killed the lamb. And you know what? He was clean. Now, everybody else remembered it. Right? But God didn't remember it. Now, I better not get too far into that because a lot of people don't think too well like I do, but I will make a point. You know that under that blood, if it was really under that blood, it was annihilated. Now, we know it had to come to Calvary to be done. Come on, we know this whole story. But see, you couldn't bring up before that man what he had done the year before if he'd been put under the blood. Okay. I know that goes into some deeper thoughts, but that's me. Because, look, if he's chosen us, the prophet said, why do we fear? It wasn't me choosing him. It was him choosing me. But he didn't pick and choose, like, I'll pick this one, but I'll leave that one. I'll pick that one. You're making him wrong. But what it would be is that he knows what each one of us will do. Is there any problem then with it? But look, see, it was done back there is my point. Watch, 1 through 5. Now, when you come to 5, verse 5, look what he's doing. Having predestinated, that's back there. When did he predestinate? Before the foundation of the world. By his foreknowledge. Okay? Now watch it, though. It's coming towards the earth, see? Having predestinated us, what? Unto the adoption of children. Now, you're dropping to earth. You understand? That's the way I read the Bible. That's the way I like to sit down and read the Bible and just take it literally what it's saying. You know, everybody wants to say, I want to make, boy, we want to make that something. Boy, just let's think about what that is. John 666, see there? 666. Boy, we got it, ain't we? Well, that's okay. But we're not sitting down and reading the Bible for what it says. And don't try to interpret it. Just read it. And then let the interpreter come. Okay? But look, having predestinated before the foundation of the world, what? Us were unto a place to be reached at some time. Right? Where is that place or what is it? Adoption. Remember, folks, we're not even Jews to be falling into lineages. We're Gentiles. Which there was no representation for us. Only this thing here every once in a while, like a Rahab or something that would represent us. All right, worth nothing. See? But he predestinated us unto adoption. Now, that adoption first, you got to start with the new birth. We'll do that. We'll go through the message. Then you go through three stages of adoption, see, according to Romans 8. Where you cry out by Father. Where you have manifestation of Son of God. Where you have... to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So it's a long ways to go. But get the point. See, adoption of children by Jesus Christ, what? According to the good pleasure of his will. Now, he's going to have his will in his way. Remember, we can fall under permissive, and we did as human beings. We fell under permissive will, right, through the sin in the garden problem. But he's going to make it work out for his perfect will. May take a while. 6,000 years been working on it. But he's going to have, because he's got his will, his plan, his purpose. Right. See, to have a family. Okay. Look. Then they see you start now, watch, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, or up here. Chosen in him. Accepted in the beloved. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. All right. In whom we have redemption. See, the right. Through what? Because I was a seed. I'd born with a seed. See, this don't even fit Scripture. This quote's right, but not our way of using it. Because in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What? Wherein he hath abounded, heaped it up toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Can't you think really where the day that we're living and see that it really is a great for us that the end of the world has come and that we are to have the word of God even to what will take place in the Jews and the tribulation, the millennium, the future home? We've already been told that by what? By way of the prophet that was promised at this time. How did he say it? We have the perfect interpretation with divine vindication. Is that the quote? It's close to that. All right. Look. Because what is he doing? Wherein he hath abounded, he's built it up for this day. He's waited till now. And to bring it with all wisdom and prudence. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, Paul and him understood adoption and the things, but they never came to the change of the body. So then there was part of the mystery was not completed, even though Paul and him wrote about it. The great mystery of the ingrafting of the Gentiles and etc. All right? But look, he's made, having made known. What having made known? While we're here. Making known to us what? The mystery of his will. The pleasure of his will. He's making known to us the mystery of his will. And what is his will? His word. Is that true? All right. What? Having made known to us the mystery of his will. What? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Plan and purpose, right? Christ the mystery of God revealed. What now? What is that to be? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the end time, right? That in the end time, the dispensation, this is the dispensation of the winding up of the Gentiles. All right? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, what? He might gather together in one all things were. Brother Branham, should we gather to the tabernacle? Should we go to Arizona? You remember what they said? He said, I just got it. I'm paraphrasing it, so if I miss it higher, you know it's right, though. But what did he say? He said, where do we gather? He said, into Christ. Not Jeffersonville or Arizona, it's in Christ. Right? Or Lula, Georgia either, so get all that. Huh? But look, he's going to gather everything in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Now we can go through that. He's going to bring the thing. He's going to bring the future home, bringing it down. He's going to do the natural, but think on it on the other way. Remember, there's a lot of people in heaven today. Right? those who have died and gone on are somewhere. Right? So he's going to gather all of them were in Christ. All right? Where's he going to gather them to? Where's the future home coming to? Where's the millennium going to be? Here. I don't give a hoot what science says about that we're not the center of the universe. The center of the universe is where God chooses it to be the center. And he must have chose this world to be something great because the future home's coming down on this earth. He's not going to put it all back together. You know, and then blang it again or something. And we believe in that. That was all right. But look. Now watch. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now we'll get to that in the message inheritance, but you know what I'm talking about. It's in the adoption series. Brother Brown said, Jesus never left you an inheritance. He came to pay the price. Inheritance. How would you like this quote? By doing the way Jesus came, he inherited eternal life. You ever notice Brother Brown saying that? By coming to reason the way he did, he inherited eternal life. Well, but he was already... No, his body wasn't eternal. His flesh inherited. All right, come on. We have a lot to do, right? Why? In whom we have obtained an inheritance. What? Being predestinated, how? Or what? According to the purpose, you know, his will, his desire, what he wanted, of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's already three times that he has spoken of his will, and his will is his word. Why? What would it be to you and I that we should be to the praise of his glory, which first trusted in Christ? We down here, then them back there who first trusted. That's all Paul. See, a Bible has a meaning of a natural thing. So Paul said that we, that was back there who first trusted, the first foundations. All right, but then we've got to come into it because there's not a difference in you and I. We come into the same being. It'll apply then to us, right? In whom ye also trusted. Now watch it. After that, you heard the word of truth. Yeah, but I was born with this, and all I had to do was just wait for that to cross my faith. And it's okay. But I thought we was to accept the pardon. Or the pardon was no good. It's all right. In whom you also trusted when? Boy, when I first heard this message, I just believed every word of it. I just tell you to your face, you're a liar. I don't mean to be sarcastic about that. I'm just telling the truth. That's not degrading. That's just telling the truth. Hey, I was a good old Baptist. Hey, I had two boys sitting in the car with me that were good. One was a Methodist, one was a Baptist. But oh, I was a deacon, and I had to defend the faith. You know. And the man started talking to me about one God and a prophet and things. Oh, I had to defend the faith. I don't mind telling the truth. You don't. That's your problem. We was riding down the road one day, and I said, Brother Moat, you wouldn't know what's talking to me and telling me what to do. You heard me say it, right? I don't care. He said, what? I said, there's something telling me that if I run into that next tree or post on your side of the car, I'll shut you up and get rid of you. Now, would you be honest enough to admit that? Were you with that? I like Sister Gail. She'll tell it like it is. I come in fighting. Well, after you get settled down, who stays? Right? Some of them that come in so sweet and burn it. Now, my point is what? You light a candle on both ends. It'll burn up pretty quick. You see the people come into this message, oh boy, they're on fire. Man, I've never seen that. That's great. That's one God. That's wonderful. I see all that. Oh, this is great. And they're on fire and they're running out trying to tell everybody else about it. And all at once you see them just gradually slow it down. And after a while, they start missing. You know, your car don't quit. It misses first and it quits, right? And it just, you know, they just start missing and then they're gone. Well, what happened to the burning fire? I'd rather see somebody just be honest and say, I don't believe it. It ain't been made known to me. Okay. All right. Look. In whom also, whom ye also, after that you heard the word. I simply asked the two soul people many years ago, you've heard me say it. Not a sarcastic, but it's a statement. I said, the new birth, is it the birth of the word that you claim you come here with? Or is it the birth of the word that you receive after you get here? That's all the question I asked. I thought I could ask that question. Because if you say that it's what I come here with, then you're doing away with the scripture. It says faith cometh by hearing. See? Uh-huh. Well, look, what happened to you? In whom you also trusted. You remember how when you first heard this message? You know, it was wonderful, wasn't it? Especially when you begin to get into it a little. And, you know, it was just opening up the Bible. And you remember, I remember when the name, you know, and I never noticed that. I never run it up in the concordance, see how many times the word name is said. But from the time I started talking about, Brother Moat started talking about the name and the water baptism, everywhere I turned, there it said, in his name, do this in the name, that in his name. You remember how joyous it was? You remember when you first trusted? You remember when you come into the message and you started receiving the word of God? It was just wonderful days, wasn't it? I know you think that I try to be sarcastic or whatever. I've done it. I've read 6 books in one day and listened to 2 tapes, one going to work and one coming back. I had a good job. My boss, he didn't know what was doing. So he had to depend on me to help him. So if I helped him, he helped me. He said, go hide. Because if he's on the floor and the big boss come out, he won't know what I was doing. So you always had to have a wrench in your back pocket. You know, and if somebody comes by and says, what are you doing? Well, you know, they just pass it off because they figured you'd going somewhere. I didn't do like a lot of them did, and I'm not throwing off on them, but a lot of them had their little cubby holes that they slept in that didn't have a lot of jobs to do, and so they could work all day at home and slept 8 hours at work as long as they got their jobs done. I wasn't. I had to do a little work. But listen, you remember when you first started? After you heard the word of truth. And what did it become? The gospel of your salvation. It began to save you. To deliver you. Right? In whom also after that you believed. You remember Paul? You remember the one Brother Branham emphasizes a lot? Yeah. Oh, we got the Holy Ghost when we believe. That's Baptist, right? I come from that doctrine. I know what it is. Oh, we got the Holy Ghost when we believed. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says after you believed, yeah, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah. See, the doctrines of this message is not new. It's just new wordings. Oh, I come here with eternal life. Well, may I ask you a simple question? If you came here with eternal life, why are you griping and complaining and hollering and screaming? Why are you upset? You know what I mean? Yep. Well, you're wrong. You're right. Well, why are you saying that? Then you realize I must come one day to see who I am. If you say you come to who you... Okay, all right. Well, look. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed what happened, you were sealed, and I like that word, and you were sealed with that. First time I read that and I really seen it, I just put a little circle around it. That Holy Spirit of promise. Not another. Not another. As I was saying a moment ago, so you get your thought, Brother Branham would say, you didn't come here with the Holy Ghost in you. He said, because then if you did, why would you be seeking for the Holy Ghost? And see? Why would it be that point? See, why would we argue? All right. So have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believed? Right? Whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What is it? Now, what is that Holy Spirit of promise? Which is the earnest, right, of our inheritance. Earnest is a down payment. Okay? On the day of Pentecost, there was a group of people in the upper room that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and 120 of them. And the prophet says they had these virtues right here up to this Holy Spirit. They didn't have the headstone, which is love. That's what he said. He said it hadn't come yet, so that's his business. All right.
Amen.
But then there was a group of people outside that once they come walking out, there was like 3,000 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you know what? Those disciples, they realized that what they had was an earnest. They were only higher in growth development, but it still was just an earnest to them because they didn't have the full inheritance of the redemption of the body. It was not made known back there. But see, then every believer outside the 3,000, outside, when they received the Holy Ghost, they got an earnest. It was the same Holy Ghost. The 3,000 outside had eternal life, just like the 120 in the upper room had eternal life. There's not any difference in the eternal life of the 120 and the eternal life of the 3,000 or anyone else that's received it after then. It's the growth development because of your understanding that you're dealing with. We will get to those things in adoption. All right. But do you see what I'm saying? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until, which means it's not here, it was not there. Paul was recognizing it wasn't there. It's paid for, all finished in Calvary, but it wasn't there, it wasn't applied. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He's not going to have to die again. That's where where Moses messed up. See, Moses was told to smite the rock, right? And he did, and they got water. That represented Calvary, right? I'm quoting Brother Branham, if you want. But see, then when he went the second time, he was told to speak to the rock. Read your Bible. Speak to the rock. Why? Because it already speak about the redemption under Calvary. It already spoke of Calvary. All right? But instead of that, he went up and smote the rock and said, must we fret you rebels water from the rock? Got kind of beside himself a little. All right. But now look. Brother Branham said, and you want the quote? He said he broke every type in the Bible. But you know what? Moses got water. Because what does that second smiting mean? That means he's going to have to be, in this church age, smitten from the church. Paraphrasing. He's going to be smitten from the church. Crucified, may I get it? Or if you don't, let's see, I'll get it in a minute. There they crucified him. is one, and you know, where there they crucified him. And he said, smitten from the church in this last days. That's what Moses spoke of. All right? It was going to be that way, but yet it was not God's perfect will. His perfect will was for us to receive the Word of God. But instead of that, he was actually put out of the seventh church age because, come on, read your Bible. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Right? He's put out of this age, totally out of the church. Not the church system, the bride of Christ. Because why? Because we're put out with him. But remember, you better get a lot in your scriptures. It takes a long time. People don't realize it. He was smitten from the church. That's me and you, whether you like it or not. You remember down through the ages how it went into the dark ages and the things happened? He was smitten out of the church, out of the bride. Oh, no! We don't like that. Well, I don't care. Is it true? No, he's smitten out of the church world. Then I will remind you that the Bible says, see, when he was smitten from the church, the Bible says, let's go unto him. And it had to be offered outside of the gate of the city. You remember that in the scripture? Let's go unto him. That was the first message I preached right here in this church, July the 4th, 1971. Going beyond man's camp. That was the scriptures I used. See, if he was smitten and drove out, we got to go where he's at. Right? Right. Let us go into him. Because he can't come back into the church systems. But he's put out. We've got to go out to him. But look, the earnest of our inheritance. All right? The down payment. You go down and you put down an earnest money on a car or earnest money on a home or whatever. It's a down payment, right? Down payment on what you're buying. Now, you get the title, right? They give you the paperwork. They give you everything, right? You say, I own my home as long as you make the payments. But the way they got your car made now, they got it made real good, haven't they? You buy a new car now, and you don't make the payment. You know what they do? They can't cut it off because it's against the law. They can't cut you off while you're driving. But when that minute comes up and that second comes up for it to be done, there's two brothers sitting right here now that do that daily. The guy can be in New York, and he pulled up into Walmart in New York. You key in that number to your computer, and you know right where the car's at. And all you do is just push a button, and they can't crank the car. There ain't no mechanic can crank it. If you owe your payments on your car, just remember, you better not go very far. You may be walking. Because you only have the earnest. They can cut that motor off and there's no mechanic can crank it. What are you getting at? That's why we're dying. It's because we're still in the process of an inheritance being brought to us, which is adoption, the new birth, which is a part of adoption, the second stage, which is our manifestation of sons and daughters of God. And may I say this, because when I first came into the message there, boy, everybody said, we're going to have manifestation of sons of God in the millennium. I didn't know Brother Branham had said it. You know. But I had enough sense in myself. I said, we don't need them over there. We need them now. Well, you know what? I found a quote. But the prophet said, we don't need them over there. We need them right now. Well, I had enough sense to know I didn't have what I needed. All right?
Amen.
We need a redemption of these bodies, right? A change of these bodies. And you know that's going to have to come through stages. Somebody's going to have to come through the processes to come out to that. Right? But listen now. By doing it, then we're going to fulfill on earth what God saw before the world about us. So then it's not his picking and choosing, is it? It's not him doing that away, it's him seeing it. All right? Because predestination, remember, looks back to foreknowledge. And foreknowledge looks to destiny. All right, so what's first? See, everybody wants to preach this great revelation. God in his mind, he just predestinated this group of people. And you and I are that people. If you don't approach it by foreknowledge, you're wrong. You say, well, why would you say we're wrong? Because the Bible says those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. The prophet says predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. He said election looks back to foreknowledge. Election looks back to foreknowledge. Paragraph 104, adoption, 1960. Foreknowledge looks to destiny. So what do you want to call your election and choosings and whatever you're doing? Remember, he can't push you through a pipe and make you come out the other end. So God's saying, on proving his word, 1964, not choosing you and saying, I choose you, but I don't choose you. Said, but by his foreknowledge, he knew what it would be.
Amen.
All right? By his foreknowledge. Well, it's just such a mystery when other people explain predestination. But to me, it's just you're just making it too simple. I wish I could.
Amen.
I wish I could make it so simple, but I wish you'd believe what the Word says.
Amen.
And that's plain. Sorry. Because, hey, you know what? There was a time I didn't believe what the Word says about predestination. But then the Lord began to deal with me a little bit about it. And I've been preaching this for 40 years, so I ain't worried about it. As a matter of fact, about 5 years ago, I run a series on predestination. If you want to go back on your internet and check it on, the tapes are there. That's one thing people won't do. They won't open up what they believe. Preachers are afraid to put on the internet what they believe. Because they figure somebody's going to challenge them. The only thing we refuse to do, and the brothers, they get a good life because they've done it, is they put us on Facebook. And I got out here one day in the preaching, and I said, there's one thing about it. This church will never be on Facebook. Two of them disappeared in the back room. I didn't know what had happened. They had us on Facebook. I didn't have to tell them to remove it. They got it off in a hurry because, my Lord, put you on all of that. But look, God chooses by his foreknowledge. You remember all of those quotes? Trying to do God a service without his will. Paragraph 133. What about souls in prison? He made man on the basis that he could make a choice.
Amen.
That's what you call free moral agency, right?
Right, amen.
All right. Well, said, when did he choose, Brother Dale? When did he choose you? Paragraph 98, adoption, 1965, 13 or 15, of which one in the evening, said, when did he choose you? Before the foundation of the world. How did he choose you? His choosing, his election, foreordinating, ever heard of foreordainings, is by foreknowledge. Is there any problem to that? But it's just not, I just don't feel the way that I feel when Brother So-and-so explains it. Okay. I will admit, I don't feel too good the way a lot of them explain it. Okay. All right. But listen. Then if we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, then we had to have someone in heaven to represent us in heaven. All right? Those who have eternal life tonight or today were represented in heaven before the foundation of the world. Where at? When a lamb was slain, then we were represented in heaven. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Little woman at the well on the message of possessing the gates of his enemy said she had representation in heaven. So what could she do when she came to earth? Now, did Brother Brown make it this way? He said, I don't see how. So, or something, maybe it's hard to understand or something. How that seed could work it out into that prostitute. But you know what? It did. Now we'll get to it this evening about some things about that, see. Maybe that will be helpful to do. How does God predestinate? By foreknowledge. By foreknowledge. Not his desires, because he desired that everybody be saved. What was wrong with that priest back there that made him say, Beelzebub? He had no representation in heaven. Paragraph 134 to 139, if you want to read them, we've got them laying right here. The high priest had no, or the priest had no representation in heaven. But the little woman at the well had representation from predestination. She had somebody in glory to represent her because what? Because when she would come to earth, she would say, I know. You think about it until we get to it this afternoon. You know, there was a lot of people in the Bible made open statements about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of them called him the devil. A lot of them called him Beelzebub. They called him all kind of things. But a lot of them called him the Messiah. A lot of them called him the Christ. And like I said, you get a large people together and somebody start hollering Messiah, then everybody's going to start hollering Messiah. Or they, you know, he's the Christ. They're going to start hollering, he's the Christ. Know nothing about it.
That's right.
Just caught up with the time. But now watch the point we're talking about. The priest had no representation in heaven. Now, it doesn't mean he wasn't thought of. It means that he would do what he done on earth. Are you listening? What the priest done on earth was exactly what was written in heaven that he would do when he got to earth. Right? If the book was written before the foundation of the world, and our names were placed in that book, and he was the Word, well, what we call the Bible, would it not be that the Bible would have been before the foundation of the world? Not a King James or this or that or the other. But I still say the prophet said it. I didn't say it. I love the King James because a lot of the others I can't follow too good. But I will like to quote him. He said, we have the perfect interpretation. Which Bible did he use to read from? Yet he read other translations and would say things. But we have the perfect interpretation. You mean God would not, God would make us to try to do or whatever upon something that mankind would have something to do with perverting it and getting it all messed up, and then he's going to judge us? You mean Eve was put out of the garden because she rejected one word? But yet we're all going to heaven? That's what I said the other day. You know, they're going to do away with hell. You heard about that, haven't you? Because ain't nobody going no more. It's empty. Everybody's going to heaven. You'll never hear a preacher say this brother here dying going to hell. Of course, it wouldn't be too safe, I guess. But but now watch. What's my point? The high priest had no... His representation in heaven was that he was going to call him Beelzebub.
Right.
He was going to reject.
Yep.
When he came to earth... Now watch what I'm saying. He had no representation in heaven. He had no one to represent him. Why? Because his representation was bad. Brother Brown said blacked out. He realized then that he had no representation in earth. Are you listening? He had no representation in heaven because his representation would have said that he was going to call him Beelzebub, he was going to crucify him, he was going to do, you know, so when he came to earth, he had no representation in earth. If we were not represented in heaven when the Lamb's Book of Life was written, how can we expect to have representation on earth? Now, may I quote Brother Branham? If your name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, he said it'll never be written there. So you see what I'm getting at? When that high priest come to earth, he was just doing exactly what God in his mind saw that he would do. But he didn't make him do that. He offered it to him. He came to his own, but his own received him not. He came to the religious leaders, and they rejected him. See, if we were represented in heaven before the foundation of the world, then we'll accept it down here.
Yep. Right.
If our representation was that we wanted it, and may I quote Brother Branham, he said, God knew you'd want it. He said he had it provided for you.
That's right. Yep.
If my representation would be in heaven, that I would be chosen in him, not just chosen of him as to be this or that or the other, except, but to be chosen in him. Now, so then when I would be here on earth, I would be first represented by Jesus Christ, because he would go through the process of fulfilling on earth what was in the foreknowledge of God before the world. And when the Lamb was slain, then I was slain with the Lamb. You remember those quotes? Now, I wasn't back there. You remember the prophet? Questions and answers, what is it, 60 or 61? He said, were we spirits then? He said, you wasn't nothing. Said you was just in his mind. Now that's about as plain as you can get, isn't it? That don't need a lot of interpretation. Right? That's pretty plain. Look. See, then you and I will prove what we are by the fact that we will accept him here because he represented us there. We'll accept him here then truly then I died with him on Calvary. In him. Not just with him as a thief sitting over here. That's bad enough. We ought to have been a whole lot more of us hanging up there. Because there'd be no right for any of us. But we was in him. Because that's what the Bible says about it. The Bible says we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So we were chosen in him. When he would come to earth, he would come here with us in him. But see, we want all of this great mystery, though. Oh, but that just don't give me a thrill. But if I could think about that, I always was eternal, and I come here with eternal life. You didn't have it. You don't have it. You remember the illustration the other day? Where Brother Branham ran on to the two men, you know, when he first started. Both of them told him he needed to maybe speak in tongues. And the guy that was in bad shape, he had a wife and a couple of kids, but besides his wife, you remember he was the one. Ain't that nice? You ain't never spoke in tongues. You ain't got it. Boy, wouldn't you feel good and a man standing there telling your whole life and you turn around and tell him you ain't saved yet? Hey, I had a guy, because see, I didn't mind telling everybody I wasn't born again. I had a good old Baptist boy at work. And I talked to him about the word. You know what he finally come up with one day? He got smart on me. Okay. And he come up with the fact. He said, "You can't teach me the Bible." Well, I don't know. What do you mean? He said, "Because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You said you did." He said, "Then you can't teach me, because only with the Holy Ghost can you teach somebody." You know what? I never got mad at it. I said, "Okay, no problem. We just talk about the word." So you know what I done the day I received the Holy Ghost? The next time I went to work, I looked him up and I said, "You want to talk a little bit about the Bible now?" I said, "Because you know you told me that I couldn't teach you because I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And no man can say that Jesus is Christ except by the Holy Ghost." "Yeah." I said, "I have it now. You want to sit down and talk a little?" I wasn't mad, hateful. I was just truthful. It didn't bother me for him to tell me. I was telling him I wasn't born again. Of course, he got away from his sarcasm. But listen. See, when Jesus Christ saw we would fall, but we would want to be redeemed, then he would come to earth to fulfill that plan and purpose to make a way that we would want to be saved, to make a way we'd want to be redeemed. Then God's plan and purpose has been fulfilled. Come on. His plan and purpose has been fulfilled. But now whether or not we are a part of it is another story entirely. Right? Is another story entirely. Whether we want to have something to do with it or not is left up to us. Because remember, a pardon, not a pardon, unless received as one. So this afternoon, we'll drop back and we'll start talking about the new birth. The question will be, why must you be born again? I would ask that question of you now, and I know what most of you would quote. We was lost, we was this, we was born in sin, from Eve's sin, all of that's well and good. But I wanted to ask you the question again. Why must you be born again? See, we're not going to talk about what it is. See, there's two scriptures in the Bible. One of them tells you about the new birth. The other one tells you how to get born again. Huh? What about it? Come on, musicians. What about it? Did we have anybody to represent us in heaven? You know that we're proving here on earth what took place back there. So then, my brother Tom Fallbush, he used a word, and I wouldn't know what it would mean totally, but it was a good word. He said, we trigger our predestination. That's a good way of saying it. See, we fulfill on earth what was seen of us before the world. Right? Because you got to admit that he saw it before the world. I mean, you got to admit to that. Well, then why not think about what we're doing? And it might make a glorious thought within your mind to think about, you know what? It wasn't no great light bulbs. It wasn't no great signs or wonders that brought me to this message. It was a man explaining God's word. And I'm not just talking about Brother Moe. I'm talking about Brother Branham. What brought me to the message, I told Brother Moe, he said, you know, I've seen the dead raised, I've seen this. And he said, you know, Robert Tatum. I said, sure do. He's a wonder. I mean, he's a great man. I honored him. We always knew the families. He said, we've seen the dead raised. I said, listen. I said, I believe you. I believe you. I wouldn't doubt you. But I said, I didn't see it. I said, you're talking about proving it by the signs and wonders. And may I quote Brother Branham, I was just reading him the other day. He said, the biggest portion of people follow this message because of the signs and wonders. If you want that quote, I'll be glad to find it for you. He said, it was not on, just on signs and wonders that followed it. I've heard Brother Moke tell, he said, we wanted him to hurry up and get through where he'd do the signs and wonders. We wouldn't listen to what he said. Said we wanted him to get around to using that gift. Well, he was just honest. But I told Brother Moe, I said, I wasn't there, brother. But I said, you are trying to say that he was a prophet because of this, that, or the other. I said, let me tell you like this. I'm a good old Baptist that believes the Word of God. And I said, if you'll tell me in the Word what he said about the Word, you put in the Bible what he said, I'll know whether he was a prophet or not. Right? What are you basing it on? There's some sitting here. Sister Cleta, Sister, you know, Brother Gary, if I miss some of them, there's some people sitting here that was there when the things happened. Joyce and the different ones. Charlotte. There's a lot of people sitting here that was there when the signs and wonders took place. May have been little kids, but they was there. Richard was there. But you see, I can't go on what they saw. I must go on what God speaks to me from His Word. Well, as long as He keeps speaking the way of the Word the prophet brought, then why do you think I'm worried about what I say? There's no concern about that. I'm concerned with one thing, trying to get you to see it. See, the Word is real to me. I don't seem too much for it to not be real. I'd be an unbeliever for not to believe the things. I can stand here all afternoon. You know I've done it. I'm standing on two knees, or one, that a doctor told me, and a head specialist, I'm in a specialist on it, that he'd take my kneecap off. And in those days, it was just about a straight leg, you know, walking. I said, you won't take my kneecap off. He just lied. He said, go ahead. You'll be back. I said, won't be back. I'll see you. Well, you know, he's dead and gone. I still got my knees. You know what? Because I believe God. For heaven help, don't make a prayer and say, because Brother Branham said it. Make your prayer to God in sincerity about what you're doing in your own life. And you'll find He'll deal with you. Right? Let's stand. But see, if you're represented in heaven, you're going to be represented on earth. It's not something that's going to be different. You're going to be represented on earth. See? You said, well, Brother Dale. Let's see, who was it? Brother Zemer talked to a brother. Or somebody. Brother Zemer told it anyhow. Because Brother Branham spoke it and said, God had to drag you to the service. Something of that order. And he went and found that out, and he talked to, happened to see the person he talked to. He said, was any different about going? He said, no, I got in the car and went. Well, see, to him, he's got in the car and went. But to Brother Branham, ain't no telling what he saw getting in the way of that man and trying to get him to the Word of God. But you see, we don't think about all of the things that would bring us to get us together here in this situation from around the world, as far as really the foreign countries are represented, the things, you know, as to come to Lula. It don't work too good, does it, Sister Milka, that she was sent to America to get away from this message? Right. Sent her, her mom and daddy sent her with a I think it's Methodist, wasn't it? Ministers, they were missionaries. And she gets a job. And so happens she's sitting next to Sister Hill. But you know what? I bet you Sister Milka, I've told her testimony many times, I bet you she cried all the way over here. God, look what you've done. I was at least where I could believe the message. Now you're sending me out to America. And all the time God just said, okay. I got a plan. Yeah, just wait. I'll cross your path. Yeah. What about it? Has he crossed your path? Just remember, what you're doing right now is exactly what you'd be doing in heaven. But just remember, if you're thinking that's an old Pharisee standing up there and he's a hypocrite and this, that, and the other, and I don't believe what he's saying, remember that was represented in heaven. So be careful what you think. I'm glad God overrides our ignorance. Go ahead, brother. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Once I was caught in the ranks of my sin.
My left eye, the dark.
Wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion. The King of all kings.
Let's see.
And
Father, we lay our hands upon our sister.
Took me under
his
wing.
Between her and us and the
Lord.
Yes. All there to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ who paid the price.
I am a child of the King.
Would you reach down and you'd touch our sister?
His royal blood. Now flow through my veins.
We have to have two eyes
and
to be singular.
I, who
it's
was wretched
singular
and vile, now can
now
sing.
We just ask you to
praise God,
the
praise God. I'm a child of the King.
Amen. Just believe it.
Now I'm a child with a Holy Father, He has made me His
own. If your eye be singular,
now I'm clear.
You gotta have two eyes. It's not a single eye. It's two eyes that comes together to make it singular. So you're approaching Him with His Word.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm a child of the King. His royal blood, it now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and vile,
believe now that Sister, her brother's going to be all right. We believe it. Lord Jesus, we give our sister this prayer cloth to take to her brother. and believe in you that you said by your stripes we are healed. We just remind you of what you said. You said if any two would agree on anything, that you'd give it for your honor and glory. So reach down and touch this person in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
The King of all kings,
anybody else that just have a name? See, he's still alive. He's still real. He's still here.
His royal blood
now
flows through my veins, and life
through my breath,
and life now can see.
Praise God. You're dismissed. Remember the service this afternoon.